Los Angeles politics is in turmoil. The acting city council president canceled today's meeting, saying the body cannot do business until two members, Gil Cedillo and Kevin De Leon, resign. Both can be heard in recently leaked audio of a conversation that included racist and derogatory comments. Many of them were made by former council president Nuri Martinez, who has already resigned. Also heard is Ron Herrera, who stepped down as head of the L.A. County Federation of Labor. They've all apologized, but critics say it's not enough. Protesters shut down a city council meeting earlier this week. The scandal has exposed racial divides in this multicultural city, as we'll hear from our next guests. LA Times columnist Erica Smith recently wrote an op-ed about those divisions, and University of Southern California professor Manuel Pastor co-authored a study called Black Experiences of Latinization and Loss in South Los Angeles. Now, in it, Pastor explains the area's demographic shift from about 80% black residents in 1970 to a now majority of Latinos.
There really were tensions and conflicts around jobs, in schools, in communities. But that as time went on, people began to find their way to one another in terms of organizing, and that there's been a tremendous access of black, brown solidarity building, community bridging, power building that has occurred over the last 30, 40 years, with a lot of that happening in South LA, but a lot of that being citywide. And so one of the things that I think is perhaps the most tragic about what's been happening with the revelation of these racist comments by four Latino leaders is that decades and decades of solidarity building were eroded, really, in a very short amount of time.
And so, Erica, so on the decades of coalition building, you write how this story has shattered what you describe as the narrative of Los Angeles as, quote, being some sort of multicultural mecca where black and brown people build alliances to work together in solidarity towards solving problems. Erica, was that narrative ever true, you think? Or maybe that alliance was just not as strong as people thought or hoped?
I do think there is, you know, a sense that we do get along here. And I think that some of that, you know, as Dr. Pastor was just saying, has been shattered. I think that there's been a lot of work that has been done that people did believe that alliance, particularly between black and brown, black and Latino communities, did exist. I think that this recording has shown that obviously things aren't as great as we thought they were. And maybe it's kind of opened our eyes a little bit to the work that still needs to be done, where maybe a lot of people thought that the hardest part kind of was over.
And one of the components, the political component, Erica, about this whole story is that the Latino leaders in that audio recording were attempting to consolidate Latino power. Now, I saw a stat in your piece that Latinos make up half of LA's population, but less than a third of LA's 15 council seats. Is seemingly a lack of fair representation, according to those numbers, maybe a legitimate concern for Latinos in LA?
I don't think anybody disputes the fact that black people are, to a certain extent, are overrepresented on the city council and the Latino people are underrepresented. I think the question goes back to how do you go about achieving higher numbers and equity, and do you have to do it at the expense of black people? And I think that that was what came across on that tape. We've always kind of moved forward as if we just had black and brown alliances, and we're moving together in equity. But, you know, these very real concerns haven't really been addressed recently.
Manuel, you interviewed black residents of South LA to get their feelings about their spaces shrinking, or in many cases, just plain evaporating. What did you hear from them?
Well, we heard a number of things. We heard people who were deeply concerned about the growing Latino presence, both because it changed the language spoken in the neighborhood. Imagine if you're a parent in a school in South LA, you're a black parent, and all of a sudden the vast majority of kids are Latino, and the language that's spoken at the PTA or when the principal is speaking to parents is Spanish, and someone is actually translating into English it to you in a space that was hard fought. You know, African Americans struggled to be able to gain a foothold in South Los Angeles, and in particular various parts of South Los Angeles that had been ruled off limits to black home seekers through racially restrictive covenants, redlining, and a number of racist real estate practices. So this is hard-fought space. On the other hand, you also heard, even at a very grassroots level, people saying, we face the same struggles in terms of job quality, unaffordable housing, environmental problems, schools that need significant improvement so that our kids can go to college. And you found a lot of people in Black-only spaces talking about the need to form alliances with Latinos. So I think there is definitely some sense of resentment that is there, and there's also some ground on which coalitions can continue to be built.
Just wondering, how can a shared sense of space be created in places where Black and brown people are literally sharing the same physical space? I mean, sharing being economically marginalized, over-policed, underrepresented in big issues that affect both of them.
Well, I mean, I think it starts really with what's happening on right now. I think right now we're seeing a coming together of people from various different races and ethnicities that are frankly just outraged at what has happened. And, you know, it's brought about a unity that probably and frankly wouldn't have happened if this offensive recording had not been released. And so I do think there is this renewed effort to kind of rebuild these alliances. But I also think it starts on the streets. You know, as the professor said a little while ago, I mean, as Black and brown communities, we interact all the time. Granted, you know, not necessarily equally, but we do. And so it's not like we're going to escape each other. And so we have to find a way to work together, to live together as we're already doing it, to, you know, to do it peacefully in a way that I think is productive for everybody in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles Times columnist Erica Smith and USC sociology professor Manuel Pastor, my thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.